Hebrews chapter 4 this morning, Hebrews chapter 4 in your Bible. And I've been praying about what the Lord would have me to speak on this morning, and the Lord's made this abundantly clear throughout this week, and I'm excited to preach this message. And Hebrews chapter 4, once you've found your place in God's Word, if you'd stand with me this morning out of respect to the reading of God's Word. Hebrews in chapter 4, we're going to read verses 14 down through verse 16. We'll eventually study kind of throughout the passage, but we're going to start with our text in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 down through verse 16. The Bible says there in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." As I read that passage, I seriously doubt that there could be a passage that would be more comforting to the Christian as we live the Christian life. I want to preach a message entitled, "Help for Living This Life." Help for Living This Life. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the message, and then you can be seated. Lord, we again are so thankful to gather here in your house and to be able to open up your word, and Lord, to hear the message that you have for us this morning. And Lord, we're mindful of the fact, especially on a morning like this, Lord, of your gift to us by coming to this earth as a baby there in Bethlehem. And Lord, the sinless life that you lived, and Lord, the death on the cross and the burial and the resurrection, Lord. And because you have life, Lord, we too can have eternal life. Pray that you'd help us this morning as we study out this passage. Lord, there may be some struggling here today. And I pray that they would find the help that they need in your word. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. If you study the book of Hebrews, the object of the book of Hebrews is to lift Jesus Christ up above all. And no doubt about it, he is high and lifted up this morning. In fact, the Bible says, "If I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And certainly the object of this book, and what a blessing it is to study passages like we see here in Hebrews chapter 4, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is supreme, who is higher than all principalities and all powers. And he is Lord of everything, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. And yet even in the midst of the Christmas season, again, we're mindful of the baby, Jesus, manifest in the flesh. And again, that was not the start of his existence. Jesus has always been with God in heaven, but that was him manifest here on this earth. And I want you to think about the fact that that baby lying in the manger has the ability to change your life, both now as well as in eternity. Yeah. You see, it's God's will that every man, woman, and child above the age of accountability would call upon Jesus Christ and ask him to be their Lord and Savior. Yeah. And listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, can I say that God's will is for you to get saved? To call upon him and accept his free gift of salvation? And then after you're saved, God's will is for you to live this Christian life with his help. And then one of these days, praise the Lord, and go to heaven and spend eternity with God in heaven. And I love this passage because Hebrews 4, especially verses 14 down through verse 16, it's the ministry of Jesus Christ on our behalf. What he's doing for us, how he's enabling us to live the Christian life and the help that we need. And it's an invitation to his power. But I went back and I studied throughout this chapter because I wanted to see more about this. And I want you to look back to verse 1. As the Bible speaks of a great promise that's given to us as we live this life. He says in verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." He says in verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Verse 1 details a very precious promise that has been given to mankind, and that's the promise of eternal life. I want to praise the Lord this morning for the fact that there is eternal life available for every man, woman, and child. And what a blessing that is. And yet we see there in verse 1 the promise of His rest. It's eternity with God in heaven. And yet what we see there in verse 2 is speaking of specifically those in times past, specifically the Jewish people whom the Messiah originally came to. How when they saw the Messiah, listen, they had heard the prophecies and they had heard the teachings, but when that baby was there in the manger, even though it was foretold, many of them looked upon that baby. And many of them even walked this earth with the Son of God and sat under His teachings and His preachings, and yet they never had faith to believe that He was the Son of God. But I want you to understand this morning, because the good news for you and I is if we'll have faith to believe that He is the Son of God, and that faith will mix with the gospel, which is Jesus coming to this earth, dying on a cross for your sins, He was buried, and then He rose again. If our faith will mix with the gospel, we can have that promise of eternal life. That promise of eternal rest that He speaks out about here in this passage. And what a blessing, because that is eternity with God in heaven. And what a great promise that is. But then I want you to see verse 11. Because He says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into this rest. Can I say that the goal of every human being is to live this life being saved and living this life for Christ while focusing on that eternal rest in heaven? And that's God's goal for every person that would live this life, to labor here on this earth while looking forward to entering into that rest. And can I say again that there's a day of rest coming for the saved? And what a blessing that is. Think about being able to take off this sinful human body, not having to deal battle with the devil anymore, and being able to go to heaven and trading in this old frail body for a glorified body. What a blessing that is. And this passage speaks to the fact that once you're saved, listen, the time to labor is now, because there's a day of rest coming one of these days. I thought about it this way. When I was a kid, I certainly knew about the story of heaven and going to heaven one of these days, and was cognizant of the fact of the rapture. And that was an exciting thing for me to think about heaven. But I remember as a boy, there were certain periods in my life when I would pray to God something like this: God, I'm excited about going to heaven, and I'm looking forward to the rapture and spending eternity with God in heaven with You one of these days, but Lord, would You at least wait till after Christmas comes to come back? You see, I've got a wish list here, and I think I'm going to get some of these gifts, and Lord, I'd really like to experience some of these things. I remember when I was getting close to 16 years of age and thinking about driving behind the vehicle. And all young people, at least all young men, look forward to that day in which they can get the keys to the car and jump behind that wheel. And I remember thinking about that and drawing close to that, and I began to pray again. Lord, I'm excited about going to heaven, and I'm excited about the rapture, but Lord, would You please hold off until I've at least experienced what it's like to drive behind the wheel of a car? And don't look at me like that. Every one of you have done the same thing. Remember when I went to Bible college and I met a beautiful woman, and I looked forward to the day that I would marry her, and I remember praying, Lord, I'm looking forward to heaven, but could You hold off? Please don't come until I have the opportunity to be married. And I look back on all those times and listen, just a young man really not facing the pressures of this life. And there's been times since that time going through some trials and some tribulations, through some difficulties, and I got down on my knees and said, Lord, You could come back today, it'd be all right with me. I'm looking forward to that eternal rest. And certainly all of us have been there before. As we deal with the trials and the difficulties of this life, and as we deal with doing battle with the devil, and as we deal with the temptations that come in this life, sometimes we just drop down on our knees and say, Lord, would You please come back? Even come quickly, Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, verse 11 promises us that there is a day of rest coming for those that are saved. But until that time comes, it's time to labor here on this earth. For the Christian, it's time to labor and work for Him. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. As I live this life, listen, can I say that heaven is the goal? That's the goal for everyone. Our eyes are fixed on heaven. But there's only one way to heaven. There's only one door to heaven, and the Bible tells us that's Jesus Christ. In fact, at the end of verse 11, I want you to see there, he says, "Let us labor, therefore, that's here in this life, to enter into that rest which is eternal life, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Can I say this morning, it doesn't matter how sincere you are. It doesn't matter how religious you are. If you're not looking to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the only way to heaven, you won't go to heaven. The Bible's speaking here specifically of those that were religious, the religious zealots of Jesus' day, those who walked and talked with Jesus Christ, and yet they had another way to heaven. And the Bible says because of their example of unbelief, they're not in heaven today. Because they never looked to Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. And again, listen, this morning, it doesn't matter how sincere you are. It doesn't matter how many days you attended church in your life, how good of a person you are. Listen, if Jesus Christ has not forgiven you of your sins, if you have not called upon Him to be your Lord and Savior to take you to heaven, you won't go to heaven. But the good news is, listen, that God's gift of salvation is available for every man, woman, and child. And you can leave here today knowing that you're on your way to heaven by coming forward and accepting His gift of eternal life. And experiencing what the Bible says, listen, laboring in this life to enter into that eternal rest. We see verses 12 and 13 go on to show us, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." The truth is, you may fool everybody else around you. You may fool those closest to you. But the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful. It can pierce even the thickest facade of our lives. And listen, you may be fooling everybody else, but if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God will, you'll stand before Him one of these days in judgment. The Bible says all things are open to God. There are no secrets in front of God. God knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. And listen, you will not fool God, and make no mistake about it, you're not fooling yourself either. You know. You know whether you'll be in heaven one of these days. You know whether you're in the faith or not. And yet we see the goal for living this life is, first of all, for every man, woman, and child to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's what God would have for every one of us, first and foremost, to be saved. But then next in the Christian life is to live this life for Him. To labor for Him while we're here on this earth, because there is a day of rest coming. There's a day in which we won't have to battle anymore. In fact, I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The writer of the book of Hebrews is not identified, and I believe some of that is because it's about lifting up Jesus. The writer's really not necessary, although many people believe it to be the Apostle Paul. And yet the Apostle Paul speaks with some authority on this subject of laboring here in this life, looking forward to that eternity, eternal rest with Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's speaking to Timothy, his young preacher in the faith. Paul is near the end of his life. He doesn't have much time left here on this earth, and he's speaking to Timothy and encouraging him. And he says in verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom." And notice what he says to Timothy in verse 2, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." But look what he says in verse 5. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." You know what Paul's telling to Timothy? He's saying, Timothy, listen, here on this earth, God has called you to be a preacher of His word. And it's your job to preach. And listen, Timothy, it's your job to preach even if they're not willing to listen. And Timothy, I can most certainly speak from experience that you will endure afflictions. You'll go through difficulties as you're doing and laboring for God here on this earth. You'll go through trials in your own life. And Timothy, you'll go through tribulations, and you'll even be tempted by the devil to quit. But Timothy, there's a day of rest coming. There's an eternity coming. But Timothy, right now while you're here on this earth, it's time to labor. It's time to focus on what God has called you to do, even in the difficulties and even in the hard times. And then I love it because Paul doesn't just speak this to him. Then he starts to speak of his own experience. He says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knew that his days were very close in which he would see the Savior face to face. He says in verse 7, "Timothy, I fought a good fight." Paul had labored here on this earth. "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith henceforth." And I love verse 8, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day." Somehow, in some way, God had allowed Paul, whether through a vision or just speaking to him, to realize that God had something waiting on Paul up in heaven. It was a crown of righteousness. And listen, that crown of righteousness was going to be given to Paul because of his faithfulness for laboring here on this earth for Christ. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a real crown or some type of award. It seems that it would be a crown. But we understand that God had a reward for Paul for faithfully laboring in this life while keeping his eyes focused on heaven, realizing that there's a day of rest coming, but for right now it's time to labor. It's time to keep the faith. It's time to fight the good fight of faith. It's time to labor no matter what hardships I may go through. But here's what I love about the end of verse 8. He says, "The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." But here's an awesome promise for us as Christians. "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing." Amen. This crown of righteousness isn't just available for Paul. No, it's available for every Christian who, I believe, as verse 11 of chapter 4 of Hebrews is saying, will labor in this life with their eyes focused on that eternal rest. Realizing this life really isn't about this life. This life really isn't about me gaining things and doing what I want to do. It's about eternity. It's about laboring. And can I encourage you, Christian, this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, to find what God has called you to do and to begin laboring in that? Amen. Listen, you'll endure difficulties and you'll endure hardships and you'll endure times in which you may be tempted to quit. Anybody who's ever labored for God has been there. But can I say there will be a time in which the laboring will be over? There will be a time in which there will be no more devil to battle against. And what a glory, hallelujah, that is. One of these days, spending eternity with God in heaven, never worrying about having another sinful thought. Never worrying about having an evil word come out of your mouth. Never worrying about doing battle with the devil. But for right now, the time is to labor. The time is to labor here on this earth while waiting for the kingdom of God to come. And like Paul, listen, God's expectation to every Christian, labor. Find what God has called you to do and just do it. On the difficult days, stay faithful to God. Amen. Paul says, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course." Listen, Paul could look back on his life and see a testimony of faithfulness throughout, times in which he was beaten, times in which he was left for dead. And yet Paul stayed faithful. Why? Because he knew one of these days I'll be in heaven. I won't have to labor anymore. But for right now, it's time to labor. Here's what I love about Hebrews chapter 4, though. God gives us our expectation as Christians. Listen, if you're not saved, God's expectation, first of all, is to get saved. To call upon Him for salvation. And then once you're saved, God's expectation is for you to labor here on this earth. Fight against the devil. Do battle. Work in ministry. Accomplish things for Him. But here's the awesome thing. Not only does this passage know and help us to know what's expected of us, but it also helps us to know how we can accomplish laboring here on this earth. The help that Christ has for us as we live the Christian life. Listen, the blessing is you don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to accomplish things by yourself. God has given us a very powerful person in Jesus Christ. And that leads us to verse 14. The Bible says, seeing then, knowing all these things, knowing that first of all, everyone needs to be saved, knowing that once we're saved, we need to labor, seeing then all these things are the case, then he says in verse 14, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Here's what I want you to think about, Christian, this morning. On your most difficult days, in the days that you've done battle with the devil the hardest, in the midst of the darkest trials, I want you to think about something. Jesus has already won the victory for you. He's the great high priest that's been cast in the heavens. And listen, Paul is speaking to us and he's saying, listen, even on the difficult days, hold fast to that profession. Just stay involved in what Christ has called you to do. Listen, if Christ has called you to be a witness for him, and we know he has, witness for him. If Christ has called you to a ministry, even when that ministry seems very difficult, stay everlastingly at it. As you're going through this life, you're going to face temptations and you're going to face tribulations and trials. Everyone has. And yet God says, stay faithful. Jesus Christ has already won the victory. Yes. Listen, when you get discouraged in this life, think about what awaits you in heaven. Amen. Think about that day of eternal rest in which you'll lay these rags and this sinful body down and trade it in for a glorified body. Amen. He says in verse 14, seeing then we have this high priest. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Not only has he already won the victory for us, but listen, he came to this earth in a fleshly body to give us an example of how we should live this life. Listen, if you ever wonder the decisions you need to make in a certain situation, you can look at the life of Jesus. You can see how he endured all things and how he went through the trials of this life. Difficult things. Listen, much more difficult than you and I will ever experience. And yet the Bible says he's our example because he did it without sin. Never something coming out of his mouth that shouldn't have. Never a wicked thought running through his mind. Never the idea of completely giving up and quitting on God because he knew what God had called him to do. He says, this is your example. This is the one that you can look to. But I want you to see also there in that verse, the Bible says he can be identify with us. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Listen, he understands what you're going through because he's walked on this earth and he's done battle with the devil. He's been tried by the devil. He's been tempted by the devil. And yet he did it without sin. And he says, listen, you come to me when you need help. You look to my example. You look to my word. My words for living this Christian life and find all the help that you need. But then I love it because he leads us to verse 16. Understanding that Jesus has already won the victory. And Jesus is our example. He says then in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a wonderful thing. He says, listen, here's an invitation. Come to me. Come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. An invitation to all power that you would ever have need of to live this Christian life. Yeah. This is the God who created everything. Hung the stars in the sky. Carved out the rivers of waters. This is the God who created everything that we see in 6 days. He has all power. And he says, listen, do you need help in living this Christian life? I've given you my Son, Jesus Christ, who has won the victory already for you. There's a day of eternal rest, but right now you need to labor for him. And while you labor here on this earth, there's an example given, but there's also an invitation to come before me. Bring your petitions before me. Bring your requests before me. And I want you to see just a few quick things from this passage in conclusion. As we see this invitation, first of all, I want you to see in verse 16, it's an exclusive invitation to come before the throne of God. The writer of Hebrews says this. He says, let us. You see, he's speaking to an exclusive group of people. And while this verse has been meant for every man, not every man will be able to benefit from this verse. Because you have to first be saved before you can call upon God. You have to first be saved before you can come before his throne and bring your petitions and requests before him. I remember growing up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. And I remember as a 14-year-old boy struggling with my own salvation. As a 5-year-old boy, I had made a profession of faith, but I can be very honest, I don't remember anything about that day. And as far as I was concerned, as a 14-year-old young man living in a pastor's home, very active in a youth group and in my church, I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell. I knew if I were to wake up in death and wake up, then I would be in a devil's hell for all of eternity. And I remember a Sunday morning sitting in church. My dad was in the pulpit preaching that day. And I remember, listen, for years I had dealt with this guilt and I knew that I wasn't saved. I mean, it was something that I couldn't get away from. And I remember as a 14-year-old young man sitting back over here up in our church in Cleveland, and it came time for the invitation, and I knew I had to go forward. The conviction was all over me. I walked the aisle that morning. My grandfather was on the front pew. He was a personal worker. He looked at me and said, "What can I pray with you about, Andy?" And I said, "Grandpa, I need to get saved." And he looked at me a little surprised. He said, "What?" I said, "Grandpa, everyone thinks I'm saved, and I know I'm not saved. I've lived a lie this time. I'm 14 years old, living in a pastor's home, and I'm not saved." He took me to the altar, he opened his Bible, and he started to show me Romans 3:23. I said, "Grandpa, you don't understand. I've showed other people how to be saved. I know what the verses are. Grandpa, I just need to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart." And I remember that day, my grandpa led me through the sinner's prayer. That's the day I called upon Jesus Christ, and he saved my life, made a change in my life. I remember my dad, the way the invitation would work, they'd write your name down on a card, hand it to the pastor. That was how he found out I got saved that morning. St. Andrew Folger, for salvation. But I remember, listen, before that day, I didn't have access to the throne of God. But that day I called upon him is when he forgave me of every sin. He looked upon me and said, "I don't see you as a sinner anymore. My son Jesus Christ, his blood has been shed for your life. It's washed away your sins. And now you're my child. And you have exclusive access to my throne. You can come anytime, day or night." I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you have exclusive access to God's throne? If you know him as your personal Savior, you certainly do. You can come to him anytime, day or night. But if you're trusting in something else to get you to heaven, if you're trusting in another way, if you're trusting in a church or church attendance, or if you're trusting in being a good person, the Bible tells us none of those things will ever add up. And you'll never go to heaven unless you look to Jesus Christ and him alone. He says it's an exclusive invitation. Secondly, I want you to see that it's an all-access invitation. Complete access to the throne of God. I think it's interesting that he uses the analogy here of the throne and a king. If you'd study back in history, you'd see monarchs and lands in which they had kings and palaces. And I think you'll understand this, that a peasant didn't have access to the palace. They certainly couldn't come before the throne of the king anytime they wanted. At the very least, they would have to be granted permission. And listen, at the very least of that, if the king didn't like what they had to say, if the king didn't like the petition that they brought before the king, he had all power to kill them, or certainly to send them to prison, or kick them out of the kingdom. And yet I want you to understand here this morning, we have a great king, the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And listen, you did nothing to deserve access to his throne, but because his son died on the cross for your sins, you have complete access to the throne. You can come before it any time, day or night. Listen, there's not a time in which God will not hear you bring your petitions and requests before him. You have complete access to the throne of God. And I want you to realize, listen, Christian, as you live this Christian life, what a great, powerful tool that is. Amen. Being able to go before the throne of God any time, day or night. And we see it's an all-access invitation. He says, "Come boldly before the throne of God. Come to me." He longs for us to come to him. But finally, not only is it an exclusive invitation, not only is it an all-access invitation, But finally, it's a helpful invitation. Look what he says you're going to find at the throne of God. He says you're going to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Not because of something you did, but because his son died on the cross for your sins. The older I get, the more I realize that most invitations come with at least some expectation or obligation from you. You get invited to a birthday party. If you don't bring a birthday gift, you're going to feel pretty awkward once the guest of honor begins opening up those gifts. And perhaps you've been in that situation before. I think about a wedding. The bride and groom, they're happy to see you, but they're much happier to see that you brought something with you to that wedding. All of us have probably opened up that mailbox, and on the inside of that is your exclusive invitation to come test drive this car. Free gift, no obligation to buy. Or perhaps you've been on vacation and you've walked down the road and there's the timeshare presentation people. We'll give you $100 cash if you sit and listen through our sales presentation. No obligation to buy. And by the way, can I say that is the biggest lie that's ever been told? No obligation to buy. They won't let you out of there unless you buy something. But when we come before the throne of God, you don't have to bring anything with you. The truth is, if you did, you couldn't afford it. He just says, come before me. And here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that you're going to obtain mercy. Mercy is help that you don't deserve. You don't deserve the help that God's going to give you to live this Christian life, and neither do I. He says you're going to obtain mercy. He says you're going to find grace. The word grace means unmerited favor. God has unmerited favor for you. That means you have favor with God that you didn't do anything to earn. You know why you have favor with God? Because his son sacrificed his life for your sins. And here's what I want you to understand this morning from this passage. God's goal for the Christian, first of all, is to be saved. Every person, you call upon him in salvation. But then God's goal in his commandment for each Christian is to labor for him in this life. Understanding there is eternity coming. Understanding there is the promise of a day of rest, an eternal rest. But for right now, it's time to labor. It's time to work. It's time to live this Christian life. It's time to walk and let your life bring glory to God. It's not going to be easy, though. You're going to encounter difficulties along the way. You're going to encounter trials and tribulations and temptations. And listen, no doubt about it, you're going to be tempted to quit from time to time. And God says, listen, on those times and those difficulties, you need to come before my throne. And I'll give you that measure of mercy and grace that you need to have to help you to go on a little further, to labor a little longer until that day of rest comes. Can I give you, just kind of illustrate in your mind what's happening today in heaven? The Bible says God is sitting upon the throne. Jesus is at the right hand. Jesus lives to make intercession for the Christian. And right now what's happening in heaven is Jesus is going before God and saying, God, remember your child over here. They're going through an intense battle, an intense sickness, Lord, and they're asking for your grace and mercy to help them. Would you show yourself strong in their life? And God, this child over here is dealing with an incredible temptation of his faith. And God, he's coming before you in my name. And he's asking for your help. Lord, would you help him? And God, here's a little child, one of your children, one that I've given my life to redeem. And they're on their hands and knees begging because mom and dad are about to get a divorce. And God, they want you to work in mom and dad's life. Here's a mother that has a wayward son. Lord, a mother that I've died on the cross to redeem their soul. And Lord, they're asking you to get a hold of their son's heart, to show yourself strong. And listen, on a daily basis, that's what's going on in heaven. Jesus is going to the Father on our behalf as we bring our petitions before him, because he is the high priest, the access to that throne. Let me ask you this question. Why aren't we taking our petitions to Him? Why are we struggling to live the Christian life? When He says, I've got all the power you'd ever need right here. You just have to bring it before me. What decisions are you dealing with today in which you're just wondering, what do we do? We need wisdom. Can I say you can bring it to God's throne? Amen. What difficulties do you find yourself in? What trials of your faith do you currently find yourself in? What tribulations are around you? Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's something. And you're saying, I just don't know that I can hold on much longer. Don't know that I can labor much longer here on this earth. I say there's a day of rest coming, and praise the Lord for that promise. But until God calls us home, the time to labor is now. And the help that we need is right there at His throne. We just have to come before Him. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. In a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. The invitation is time to respond to the preaching of God's Word. I'm going to ask you first of all this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? God's will for each and every person is that, first of all, they would fall on their knees before an almighty God and ask Him to save them, and He would redeem them. But once you're saved, God says, listen, I want you to labor in this life. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some difficulties. But I've got everything you could ever need. All the help you could ever want is right here available at my throne. You just need to bring your petitions and requests before me. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness to us. Lord, as we think about the ministry of Jesus Christ on our behalf as we live this Christian life, Lord, we are so undeserving of the help that's available at your throne. And yet, because your Son died on the cross for our sins, we have complete access to the throne of God. We can bring our petitions, our requests before Him. Lord, there's no need to struggle in this life because you have everything that we have need of. I pray that you'd help us now as we go to this time of invitation. Lord, I pray for those that are making decisions even right now here at the altar. Pray that possibly someone in here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior today, that they would come forward and get saved. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen.